You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Welcome on board Sienna in Cyprus in downtown and the digital family as well. We are so glad that we're all joining together. We have finally made it to heaven. That's where we are now, which is great. We've been journeying through Revelation for months, and now we get to hear about heaven for the next couple of weeks, which is going to be incredible. And we'll see that clearly laid out in Revelation chapter 21. We'll hit half of it today and the other half next week. And so I want to give you, though, we've been journeying through looking at this graph that we've been calling three lines and three arrows. So I want to give you another picture of it. I got it in your listening guide. If you're a part of the digital family, your online host will give you a link, show you where that is. But it's got a little place there at the top, and it gives us what's behind me. The first line is the age of grace. That's where we are right now. You can put your trust in Jesus Christ. You can listen to a podcast. You can watch a webcast. There's a church on every corner, at least in our area of the country type of thing. It's the word of God is out there, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first line. Then in a premillennial view is what I'm presenting to you, is then the rapture of the church, that believers in Christ will be taken up. They'll be taken to heaven with Christ. They'll be taken with Christ and be with him in that time. And then you've got the tribulation is our second line. It's our squiggly line where you've got 7 years of calamity. You don't want to be there for that. Not going to be fun. Second coming, our next arrow coming down. Jesus returns. Then the millennium, 1,000 years, our next line, 1,000-year reign of Christ, that we will be with him as believers in that time. And then now, eternity, our last arrow of the new heaven and the new earth. So where we are is we are talking about that last arrow now. We've talked about all these different arrows and lines so far, and now we're at that last arrow where we're talking about heaven. Now, heaven is a word everybody likes to use. Heavenly is a word that's even used in branding. It like sells things. So I started thinking about different products that have the word heavenly in it. So I came up with five when I did my little research. So let me show you these five products with the word heavenly that are really kind of comical is what they are. The first one is this, heavenly baby cologne, okay? I did not know there was baby cologne, okay? So this one, the smell is heavenly. Isn't that great? And babies either smell heavenly or hellish. You know, it's one of the two, right? So we've got heavenly cologne there. This next one looks pretty good. We've got heavenly caramel coffee. So this is just like, if you're a coffee drinker, you're like, oh yeah, that looks good to me. I need to find out how to get that heavenly coffee that's there. The third one is the next one called Heavenly Hunks. It's a snack. This is what the single ladies have come to church for today. They're trying to find a heavenly hunk. That's what they're looking for. So Sienna, Cyprus, downtown, heavenly hunks, hopefully around you. Some of the married ladies are like, yeah, they start out heavenly hunks, but they turn into passive punks is what they turn into. Sitting in the easy chair watching sports all day, but heavenly hunks, I hope you find one. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Men, let's be heavenly hunks. Now this one sounds good, but I think it's actually a little bit gross. Heavenly organics, okay. Mint chocolate honey patties. Kind of good, kind of a little gross to me. I don't know if I want all that. And I don't know, the word patty just doesn't feel like food to me, you know? I mean, just, I don't know. So that's our next one. And then our last one is Heavenly Hounds. This is for dogs, and this is for dogs that have stress and anxiety problems. Dogs with stress and anxiety problems. This is a canine relaxation product. It is yours, 12 packs, for the low, low price of $42. It might be time for a new dog. Might be the time, okay? So you end up with these words of heavenly. We love heavenly. The food was heavenly. Oh, the place was heavenly. I felt like it was a slice of heaven. Oh, didn't you just feel like you were in heaven? We love to use that word. Why? Because it symbolizes great, wonderful, awesome. We can't wait. And we're going to see in Revelation 21, what does heaven really look like? What is this whole thing about? And we're going to see more than a place, it's a person of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see as well, it's going to change your minds a little bit. I kind of, for years, have always thought about heaven being me going to God, but it's really more about God coming to me. It's not necessarily about us going up into the sky to play a harp. It's about the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll see the new Jerusalem coming down. What did the Lord say in the Lord's Prayer? On earth as it is in heaven, right? So we're going to see not us going up to a cloud bank, but actually God sending heaven down in a new heaven and a new earth, okay? Revelation chapter 21, I hope you'll take your pen out, take some notes. I'm going to have you circle some things as we go. We're just going to hit two verses, then we're going to make it all the way to verse 8 is our goal. So verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Key word is new. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. And the sea, I want you to underline sea, was no more. I also saw, and have you underline a few words, the holy city, underline holy city, the new Jerusalem, underline new, coming down out of heaven, underline out of heaven, from God, prepared like a bride adorned, underline bride adorned, for her husband. Okay. So we've got that the old heaven and the old earth are passed away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it says something really interesting. And the sea was no more. The sea was no more. Why is there no more sea? This is very interesting. Here's your main point, though. Out with the chaos, in with the love. Out with the chaos, in with the love. So the sea symbolizes chaos. And the new heaven and the new earth symbolizes love, that we are connected with God and He is with us. I'll show you in just a moment. So out with the chaos, in with the love. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing on planet Earth right now today? Wouldn't that be incredible if out with the chaos, in with the love? I mean, isn't that what we're all kind of watching the news, praying for, hoping for, going, out with the chaos, in with the love. The sea symbolizes chaos. Now let me show you why. First, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, it talks about that the Antichrist comes out of the sea. And then I saw a beast coming out of the sea that had 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horn were 10 crowns, and on its head were blasphemous names. So the sea is the place from where the Antichrist comes out. The sea is secondly symbolic of the curse on the planet, that sin brought a curse. What does the sea symbolize in the curse? Why does it symbolize that? It's water you can't drink. It's salt water. You could be stranded in the ocean, surrounded by water, and you could die of thirst. It symbolizes the curse. We'll see later on in this passage, we'll see in Revelation chapter 22, that there will be a river, a crystal clear river that will flow from the throne of God. So the sea symbolizes a curse. The sea, thirdly, symbolizes division. When you look at the globe, what do? Seas divide different countries, different nations, different ethnos is what the Greek word would be. And so there's a division in the earth of that. So think about our American history. Now, the whole Bible does not surround, circle around America, but think about just our American history. What have we done? We've had a battle of World War II and World War I that's been over there across the sea. We were attacked by Japan in the beginning of World War II coming across the sea. So we can see that there's divisions that happen in there. So now God's going to bring the world all together as one world. The salt water will be replaced by a spring. I'll show you in a minute. A crystal clear stream in Revelation 22. No more division in the world. No more continents. One world together. World peace and world unity will come together in Christ for eternity. Now, isn't that what we're longing for? Water that we can drink, nations that can come together, chaos being thrown out, love being brought in. That's what we're working for. Now, we're never going to get it all the way on planet Earth through human beings, through education isn't going to do it. The government's not going to do it. Just being nice people isn't going to do it. It's going to have to be God doing something brand new. The old earth and the old heaven is gone. The new earth and the new heaven is there. Now, let me ask the question. Why is the world chaotic? Why is the world chaotic? The chaoticness of the world is sinful, right? Man with sin. But it's also because Satan is the ruler of this world. Listen to Matthew chapter, I'm going to just give you a few different verses. Matthew 4:8, and then again, the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of believers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who's the God of this age? It's the enemy. It's Satan. John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out into the lake of fire we saw earlier. Ephesians 2:2, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the disobedient. So Satan has been removed from this world. He's been thrown into the lake of fire we saw at the end of chapter 20, and he is no more. So now the world, new heaven and new earth comes down, and God establishes a peaceful world free from chaos. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So let me just tell you this. Don't you feel it? Do you feel the chaos? Do you feel the imperfection? Is there something in you that goes, that's not right? That is showing that you and I were made for heaven. Because the way we respond to the chaos, the way we respond to the imperfection in Cyprus, the way that chaotic things make you go, no, I don't want that. And Sienna, in lack of perfection, goes, wait a minute. Now, I'm not talking about perfectionist having to have things perfect. We just see that something is broken. Even the atheist can see that. God is not a God of disorder or confusion or chaos. He's a God of peace. So when Satan is removed and the sea is removed, then Jesus Christ brings the peace on the earth. And did you see what happened? I had you underline it. Look at verse 2. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from where? Out of heaven. From who? From God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. So now we're out with the chaos of the sea, and we're in with the love of the new Jerusalem, the new earth, peace. Now, interesting phrase, holy city. We live in a city. That is a weird phrase to be described of a city. Holy city. You and I live here. I'm a native Houstonian. We love our city, but we know there's traffic. We know it's dirty. We know there's crime. We know there's trash on the roads. There's a lot of stuff. You rarely walk into a city and go, gorgeous concrete. This is amazing. I love these curbs. Now, you may go to a city like San Francisco and stand on the edge and look at the Golden Gate Bridge over the bay and go, wow, gorgeous, beautiful. But typically, when you're saying what a beautiful city, you're talking about the nature being infused into the city. You're not talking about the concrete of the road or the curb. Holy city comes down. Cities are filled with great things, but also crime, dirt, traffic, concrete. But now enters a bride in pure white and deep love. Look at the words that are used. Holy, new, out of heaven, bride, adorned. Heaven come to earth. Heaven come to earth. God come to earth. Not us going up to a cloud, but a new city and a new earth coming here. Can you imagine what it will be like when a perfect me and a perfect you are looking at a perfect God in a perfect place? Sounds pretty heavenly to me. A perfect me and a perfect you in a perfect place with a perfect God. That is the essence of heaven. And so here it is on earth. Now let's look, if we can, let's look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Let's take it a little further. Then I heard a loud voice. Remember, heaven is loud. A loud voice. From the throne, look, God's dwelling. Now, I want you to underline the word with, okay? Yours may say belong or connected to or something like that. Look, God's dwelling is with, first underline, humanity. And he will live with them, number 2. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Verse 5, then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. That's Jesus. And he said also, write because these words are faithful and true. He says, write it down. Jesus was a note taker is what that means, okay? So here we have now the bride, the city of Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. It's a holy city. And we get this word with. Here's the second point I want you to get. God is with us in relationship and care. God is with us in relationship and care. I'll show you relationship and then I'll show you care. God is with us. I had you underline that. With us. Incredible that he is with us. Listen, it's the presence of God, not the place that makes it heavenly. I really don't want you to miss that because we've gotten so into streets of gold, so into pearly gates, which we'll see next week. We've seen all these things that I think we can miss the person. You know what it's like? It's like having an incredible wedding and missing the fact you're going to be married. Now, we see huge celebrity weddings all the time, and I could give you a lot of examples. I did a bunch of research, but I thought, poor people, they probably got a lot of pain in their life. I don't want to dog them. But here's what you see. A big old wedding with a really short marriage. Some of them days. Even a couple of them that I found were hours. Huge wedding, short marriage. We want to be into the relationship. Far better for you to have a great marriage than a great wedding. Far better for you, and particularly girls, for your dad, to have a small wedding and a great marriage. Great marriage. There was a lady that was an expert. They call her an expert in the human, in the intricacies of the human heart. That's a good one to be an expert on. She's a psychologist at Cambridge University, Dr. Apter, and she said this. Sometimes with weddings, some people just simply love organizing things down to the last detail, and they want to get their day absolutely right. Where it becomes a problem is where the dream becomes unconnected to the reality. When there is no relation between the splendor of the occasion or the serious commitment it should represent. In this case, the anticipation of the event and the details of the day can overtake and obscure any fundamental problems between the couple. And if the wedding becomes a displacement activity, the couple may fail to realize that they are not right for each other in the first place. Last thing. And even if they do have doubts, once the wedding plans are underway, the pressure to go through with it is immense. And it's almost impossible to announce you've had second thoughts. The big event seems to silence them. They get so into the planning, they're not handling the relationship. Don't get so into the trappings. Well, is it this, that, blah, blah. It's the person, not the place, that makes it heaven, right? I'll tell you what a great marriage is. Great marriage is where you just want to be with that person and you don't care if it's at the nicest restaurant or it's French fries and the number one, you know, hamburger. You just want to be with them because now you got the presence, you got the relationship that's there. But when it's all the trappings, it's not going to work. So heaven is about a person. His name is Jesus, and it's in an incredible place, but God with us. Look at how this is happening. Think of the Bible. What is the Garden of Eden? God with us. He's restoring the garden with the city. God with us. What happens at the tabernacle? Moses meets with God. What happens in the temple? They go into the Holy of Holies and God meets with us. Think about one of our favorite names for Jesus at Christmas time, Emmanuel. What does it mean? God with us. Jesus Emmanuel comes so that God is with us. Jesus leaves and he says, it's to my advantage that I go because then the Holy Spirit will indwell you and God will be with you through the Holy Spirit in your heart. And then Jesus returns so that we can be with him for all of heaven. So what is the whole Bible about? The whole Bible is about God wanting to be with you and God wanting to be with me. And so now in this age of grace, if you don't know Christ, you can put your trust and faith in him. And you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God can be with you. And you can be with him, John chapter 15, and you can abide in him. So from the garden to the tabernacle to the temple to Christmas to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the new heaven and the new earth, it is about God with us in relationship. Relationship is the goal of heaven, a reunion between God and man. It's the Garden of Eden relationship again. It's with, with. And not only that, it's also care. Did you see the care in verse 4? And I really don't want you to miss this. This is so good. I want to read verse 4 slowly so that you really get it. Get this in downtown. Digital family, pay attention to this part. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now listen to this. I just want to pause as you think about it. Death will be no more. Grief will be no more. Crying will be no more. Pain will be no more. Do you get that? Death. No more cancer. No more suicide. No more abortion. No more car wreck accidents where people die. No more shootings. Death is no more. And therefore, grief is no more. Have you gone through grief? Not just in death, but grief is when you lose something. You can grieve the losing of a job. You can grieve the losing of a marriage. You can grieve the losing of a friend that's not walking with the Lord anymore. You can grieve a lot of things. Grief, there will be no more loss, no more crying, no more pain. Heaven takes care of it, the new heaven, the new earth, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, here it is, because the previous things have passed away. God cares for you, no more crying. But isn't it interesting? He says, he will wipe every tear from our eye, but there's no more crying. Now, I don't know how that happens, but maybe there's tears of joy. Not the only time you cry isn't always for pain, is it? Sometimes you're just overwhelmed with beauty and you cry. Sometimes it's joy and you cry. So what is heaven? Heaven is God with us in relationship and in care. Showing every tear from our eyes wiped shows care. I don't understand it completely, but I know that God cares for us in this place, in this moment. Wow. Don't you want to go there? Doesn't that sound good? Sounds so, so good. Do you know Jesus never did a funeral? You realize that? Missionary was asked to do a funeral. It was his first funeral. And he said, well, I'll look in the Bible and see what Jesus did at a funeral. Jesus never did a funeral. Anytime Jesus showed up, the person rose again from the grave. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life as well. Jesus is life. So when Jesus showed up, dead people, if he wouldn't have said Lazarus, the whole cemetery would have came out. He had to specifically say Lazarus, or the whole cemetery would have come out. Jesus never did a funeral, and now when you're with Jesus, there is no more death. Oh, please hear that. I know there's grief in our church. I've done some of your loved ones' funerals. There's no more death, and there's no more grief. Cypress, hear it. Siena, hear it. Downtown, hear it. Because he's made all things new. Verse 5, and then the one seated on the throne, well, who do you think that is? It's Jesus, said, look, I am making everything new. And he also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. He makes everything new. I love 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. What happens when you receive Jesus as your Savior? You become a new creation in Christ. You're forgiven. You're washed clean. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What do we see in Revelation 21? The old is gone, the new has come. And those that have been made new in Christ will now be the folks that dwell with Jesus in heaven, in this place of the new Jerusalem. He makes all things new. Isn't that incredible? And he says, you can believe it. Write it down. It's faithful and true. I don't know if you know this, but we've got different campuses have different shirts that we use for baptism, different t-shirts that we use, which is great. And the one at the Loop campus, I don't know if you've ever noticed it. If you've seen it, if you're an attender at the Loop campus, it's this. All things new. Where are we getting this verse? Revelation 21, very small down there on the bottom. Revelation 21, verse 5. So when we baptize people, we're saying 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, For every man and woman is new in Christ Jesus, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we're also saying, where will they be? They'll be in the kingdom of God where all things are made new. Wow, incredible, awesome, amazing to be able to see that. All things new. Jesus makes them all new. There's a song that I like by Ben Rector. It's not necessarily a Christian song, but it's a great song. It says this, it's called Brand New. I feel like new sunglasses. I feel like a new pair of jeans. I feel like taking chances. I feel like 17. I feel like windows rolled down. Kids, you used to have to roll down the windows. Sorry. New city, streets and cabs. I feel like anything can happen. You can take me right back when we were kids. I never thought I'd feel like this. The chorus, like when I close my eyes and I don't care if anyone sees me dancing. Like I can fly and I don't even think of touching the ground. Like a heartbeat skip, like an open page, like a one-way trip on an aeroplane. It is the way I feel when I'm with you. He's talking about a love song. Brand new. Brand new. Jesus, it's the way I feel when I'm with you. Brand new. Brand new in Christ. That, my friend, is the presence of heaven. Amazing. It doesn't stop there. Do you got a little bit more in you for verses 6 through 8? It keeps going. It's like just on and on and on, piling it on. Verse 6, here's what it says. And then he said to me, it is done. Do you remember Jesus saying on the cross, it is finished? It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty. Watch what happens. This describes what a believer in Christ looks like. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. No more salt water, no more chaotic sea, no more dividing oceans. The spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God. Do you hear relationship? And he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Last little section. Here we go. Hang with me. It's good. We will see Jesus. And Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. What is that? Another way to say that? He's the creation and he's the recreation, right? Alpha, Genesis, Garden of Eden, perfect. Whole lot of problems, whole lot of sin, whole lot of division, whole lot of salt water. Then the recreation of the New Jerusalem, the new earth, right? So we're not going up to a cloud in the sky to play a harp. Heaven is coming down to us in the New Jerusalem, and that's what we'll see next week, of streets of gold, pearly gates, you know, all sorts of jewels, all that stuff. That's coming next week. And so in this, we see that here Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. So what is heaven? It's about being with Jesus. How are believers in Christ described? I gave you a few words. Believers in Christ are described in verse 6. I will give freely to the thirsty. First thing about believers in Christ, they thirst for true life. They're not looking for life on planet Earth, us right now. They thirst for true life. We realize our adversity to chaos and imperfection is a showing that we were created for heaven and we thirst for true life. What does Jesus say in the Gospels? Come to me, all who are thirsty and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to you, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink, and I will quench your heart and your soul, right? And from you will spring rivers of life. So they're thirsty, number one. Number two, they're satisfied by God's grace. They're satisfied by God's grace. Jesus says, I will freely give, what is that? The grace of God, to the thirsty. From the spring of the water of life. For I have water you know not of, he said to the woman at the well. Number three, walking by faith. Walking by faith. Those who conquer, those who overcome will inherit these things. Those that continue to walk in faith. It's not about losing your salvation. That's not what he's trying to get at. He's just saying a journey, a walk on faith. After we finish Revelation, I'm going to start a series on perseverance called Keep Walking, the power of perseverance. This is what it's talking about here of perseverance. Number four, now sons forever. Moral impeccability. What does that mean? It's a big $3 seminary word, okay? It means without sin, you will not be able to sin in heaven when you get there. When you're in that place, when we're in this place, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, we will not sin. It's a perfect place. So he's made all things new. Next fall, we were working towards it, and then COVID hit. Next fall, we're working towards, and we're going for a thing, an initiative called Kainos. It's the Greek word for new, making all things new. We want to do some new things at the church. We want to build some things. We want to do some things. We want to redeem some things, bring some things up that we need to. So Kainos, you're going to hear that word here that's taken from Revelation 21, verse 5. Jesus makes all things new. Now you're thirsting, and you're getting out of a spring, out of this well. The great grace of God is there, but there's an ending, and it's very interesting. The end of chapter 20 ends like this. The middle section of 21 ends like this, and even the ending of chapter 21 ends like this, talking about those who will not be there. So it says very clearly, the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. And we could see that all throughout our society. And in that, they will not share in this heaven, but will be in the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and fire. Not everyone will be there, but today grace is still available. But today grace is still available. Remember what we talked about last week? If you reject the cross of Christ, you will then stand in your own works at the judgment seat. And when you stand in your own works, it won't be enough. But Jesus is reaching out right now with the grace of Christ to reach out to you, to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. Here's what happens. I don't want God is the rejection of the cross. Now watch what happens. They get exactly what they want for the rest of eternity without God. See it? I don't want God. And God says, okay, then that will be an eternal decision to reject me, and you will live eternity without God. Do you see it? That's what hell is. If heaven is the presence of God, hell is the absence of God. It's a person and a presence, not a place. And the absence of God is what creates hell. And so the relationship with God is what creates heaven. And when you reject the cross, you're saying, I don't want God. I don't want Jesus. And God says, okay, then you have made that decision for an eternal thing because your works won't get you there. But there is grace today. Listen to two verses of scripture, and we're wrapping up. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Listen to verse 27, and then listen to verse 28. Just as people are destined once to die, and after that they will face judgment. Uh-oh. Verse 28, comma, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. See it? You're going to die. There's going to be judgment, but Jesus has paid the price for you. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. We just talked about that the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars won't go to heaven. But listen to 1 Corinthians 6, in the age of grace, don't you know that all the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Verse 11, key, age of grace. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Do you hear that? Here's the list of all this stuff. Yeah, let's cheer for that. All campuses, digital family as well. That's the grace of God. Here's the big list. We go, But that is what some of you were. That's what some of you were. But Jesus washed you clean. And in our church, we got people in every one of those categories that used to be these things that were described. But we came to Christ. And because we've come to Christ, we will be in the presence of Christ. And we will be with him. And there'll be a perfect me and a perfect you in a perfect place with a perfect God. and we'll go. What grace that I'm here. What grace that I'm here. Give you a last thing. I traveled this week to speak, and I had a connecting flight. They changed the gate, and I couldn't be at the gate because of COVID and social distance. So I was a little bit further away, and so I didn't hear that they had changed the gate, and they changed the gate, and blah, blah, blah. On it goes to finally I see on the TV, and I begin running. Your pastor, like, you know, just running through the airport, run up, and the TV says, flight closed. And I can see out the window the plane I'm supposed to get on, with the jet bridge still going. And I run to the next gate agent, and she says, well, just bang on the door. And I run back over, and I'm banging on the door. And it never opened. And I had to get the 6:30 instead of the 4:30. Let me tell you the bad news. There's no 6:30 flight to heaven. There's no 6:30 flight to heaven. And if you in Siena, Cyprus, downtown, or online don't know Jesus Christ, when that door, like the door of Noah's Ark, when it's sealed and it's done, you can bang all you want. The flight's closed. But it's not today closed. We're still boarding this flight today. And you can come to Jesus Christ as your Savior in the age of grace. But if you reject Him, you've rejected Him, and you'll live eternity without God. And that's not a place you want to be. A little last poem. John Bradford, 1500s, was actually killed for preaching the gospel in violent times. And he said this, I'm assured that though I want here, I have riches there. Though I hunger here, I shall have fullness there. Though I faint here, I shall be refreshed there. Though I be accounted here as a dead man, I shall live there in perpetual glory. So better than heavenly cologne, better than heavenly coffee, better than a heavenly honk even, ladies, better than heavenly organic mint chocolate honey patties for sure, and better than any heavenly hounds you could ever have, Jesus offers you the cross to come to Him to go to heaven. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be amazing, but I want more people to go with me. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the book of Revelation, Lord. We thank You that we're here and able to hear this in this time of the age of grace, Lord. We pray, Father, that we'd be active in sharing our faith, that we would even receive right now in faith if we don't know You as Savior. We trust You, Lord. Thank You for all things new. Clear water. The presence of Jesus. We love You. And we thank You. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's people at every campus that would love to talk to you about what it means to know Christ. You can pray right now in your seat, right now at your home, online, and say, Jesus, I ask You to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I want to go to heaven when I die to be with You. Forgive my sins and wash me clean. I place my faith in You alone. If you're a believer in Christ, let's think more about heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cyprus, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.